Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. So I've got a question for you. When it comes to parenting, did you realize that what you do is even more important than what you say? Joining us to help explore that topic is author, speaker, and mommy blogger Arlene Pelicane. Good morning, Arlene.
Good morning, Bill.
You were in your pediatrician's office last week, and you asked her a very provocative question. What did you ask, and how did she respond?
Yeah, I love my pediatrician. She's been at it probably over 25 years. She sees a lot of patients, and I asked her, you know, doctor, what are some common mistakes that you are seeing parents make with their children? And boy, she lit up. She had a lot of common mistakes to talk about, but one of them that rose to the top was she said, Arlene, parents argue in front of their kids. They yell, they fuss, they scream, they give each other the silent treatment, they argue, and they do not realize the damage this does to a child and the insecurity it breeds in them when they watch you argue in front of them. So she just said, please, when you are arguing, wait, you know, don't do that in front of your children. Don't expose them to the stress that's really part of the adult world that should not be a part of their lives. And I thought that was great advice.
It is great advice. You know, my wife Lisa and I have a great relationship, and yet we do have disagreements at times. And it's interesting because they're usually not arguments. We're not shouting. We'll just have a disagreement about something. And we try to model right in front of our kids how we work things out. But there have been a few times where our 9-year-old will just say, Mommy and Daddy, don't fight. And again, it's not really a fight in the sense of we both know couples that really fight, but it's there's something about that in front of children that really impacts their sense of security. It undermines their sense of security. And if you think about it, that's kind of a logical consequence, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I was surprised. I was looking at this article that was done by the UC Berkeley, and it's on a blog they do, The Science of a Meaningful Life. And they really showed that research shows this correlation between kids who grow up in a stressful, tense atmosphere where there's a lot of fighting, and then the results that gives. You know, they say that kids, let's say, that who are insecure in kindergarten because there's a lot of conflict at home, they're most likely to have that harder adjustment when they hit middle school. Even as old as 19 years old, where you think, oh, they're so independent, that they still, you know, had a lot of that weight of that parental conflict. And so just that awareness of saying, wait a minute, my kids have enough stress living in this world as it is. Like, I don't need to add to that stress. And really, it is the maturity of the parent, because I'm sure many people, they're not thinking, oh, let's argue in front of our children. But it's just you're arguing so often and your children happen to be there. And then you think, oh, let's expose them to real life and let's not be phony about it. But the truth is that you do still need to protect them from those things, and that we as parents need to get the help that we need so that we can argue in a civil manner and have the self-control to say, oh, this is going to blow up. We better wait till the kids are in bed or until another time. So really considering your children before you go into all those little spats and big ones.
Well, and one of the big issues is that developmentally, younger children are not able to comprehend really what's going on. They don't have the ability to abstract, and that doesn't come until later in childhood or the early teen years. And so when they sense the tension and, you know, the adrenaline levels are pumping through your veins and mom and dad are getting defensive, all they know is this is dangerous, this is scary, this is bad, and I want it to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, and those feelings, like, you know, if we as parents, we whether we're yelling or whether we're giving the silent treatment or we're saying threats that we think are empty, you know, like, well, I'm not going to be here when you wake up tomorrow or whatever it may be, like a little threat you want to, a dig you want to give to your spouse, you know, for your child. It's this huge, like, oh, no, what's going to happen? You know, will my parents get a divorce? Is my world going to have to change? And it just spirals into something so much more for a child. So So to really consider that, I mean, I remember my daughter, she's also 9, and she's like your kids. If James and I just talk about like, well, I want to do this after school, and oh no, I want to do this after school, she'll say, stop arguing. Like, no, we're just having a discussion. We're just trying to talk about which plan A or plan B is better. And it makes you realize, like you're saying, the kids are so sensitive to, oh, what's happening, what's going on. And, you know, we recently lost the same daughter, 9 years old, in Walmart. You know, she was looking at some art pens, and I had told her, we're going to the milk. And I kind of did it like a little test, like, you need to follow us to the milk. But she really loved those art pens, and she got a little lost along the way, and I figured this is a good lesson for a 9-year-old. Well, it took us a few minutes to find her, and come to find out months later, she'll say to me, Mom, I still think about that, like that feeling of being lost in Walmart. And just to realize, like, wow, our kids, they think about this. They can rehearse and think about the things they saw over the dinner table, the things they heard at home. Now, on the flip side, if you learn how to handle conflict really well, that's good, actually good for children, that they see, oh, look, they disagreed. One wants to have pizza and one wants to have Chinese food, which is kind of funny because I'm Asian and my husband is Italian. And so they see that. And then they see, okay, this week they decided they're going to go to pizza. And then next week they decided they're going to go to Chinese. And they kind of realize, oh, okay, this is how you do this. And so if you can model healthy conflict resolution, you can take out the attitude, take out the rude behavior, take out the hurt, but, you know, work things out in front of your kids, that's actually positive. So I'm not saying, like, you can never disagree in front of your children. It's the way that you do it and the way that you resolve it.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because the opposite extreme is equally bad, where you're stuffing your feelings or you're acting out in passive-aggressive ways. I can think of one friend of mine who grew up with a very passive-aggressive mom, and it continues to affect her to this day, because rather than openly disagreeing with her husband or even her kids on various issues, what she would do is she would manipulate, and she would sulk, and she would give people the silent treatment. And that undermines a child's sense of security just as much as open fighting does.
It does. So it's really, isn't it? It's hard. It's this call for us as parents, like, man, I've got to learn how to fight fair and how to fight clean, and to take the malice and the anger and the jealousy and all those things out of it, and just really see the situation for what it's worth. You know, they said in the same study I referred to that kids can spot a phony. They know, like, if their parents go behind closed doors, but they don't work it out, and they just come out pretending like they worked it out and pretending to be nice to each other. You know, kids know that. And then they also know the difference when you come out from the closed doors and you really have had some kind of resolution, even if it's like, we don't have the answer, let's talk about this again tomorrow. But you have that resolution, like, they're okay. So kids can spot, you know, whether you're faking or whether you're truly content in there with your spouse. So that is something to strive for.
We're talking to Arlene Pelicane. She's an author, a speaker, and a mommy blogger. You can find out more about her, read her blog at arlenepelicane.com. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. It's a Monday. I want to say hi to our friends who are listening on our brand new Faith Radio affiliate, Faith 1290 in Hartford, Connecticut. It's so cool that we've now expanded into New England. And if you're one of our Hartford listeners, we would love to hear from you. You can connect through our website, which is myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. You can also learn all about our programs, Monday through Friday programming, our weekend programming, and some great articles as well about growing in your faith. It's all right there at myfaithradio.com. This is Bill Meyer. My special guest this morning, Arlene Pelicane. She has written some wonderful books. You may have heard her on the Focus on the Family broadcast a couple times in the past year or so. And Arlene, you were looking at some research on parental conflict, mainly fighting in front of our kids and the impact that it has on them. One of the things that I found fascinating and actually quite disturbing is that fighting in front of our kids can actually affect them physiologically.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you can think of it. If someone is under stress and they're having a hard time, you know, all those things start to manifest in their bodies. And they did this study, some researchers from UCLA, looking at 47 different studies, and they looked at the child's experience if they were in a risky family environment that, you know, where there was a lot of fighting, and they saw that kids who grew up that way with high levels of conflict in childhood, that they had physical health problems, emotional problems, social problems later in life, much more so compared to those who grew up in homes where fighting was not a normal part of life. And so as adults, they're more likely to report, I've got immune problems with my immune system, I've got vascular problems, I'm depressed, I'm very emotionally reactive, I can't control my emotions, and, you know, more likely to have substance dependency and things like that. So it is, you know, when we think about it, to think, wow, all of us parents want to launch our children into a healthy adulthood. And it's both wonderful and terrifying to know you have a big part of that. And one of the ways you can launch this emotionally, physically healthy child is to say, we will make our home as peaceful and calming, as much of a refuge, a place of love, a place of truth, you know, that is possible. So it doesn't mean we don't confront. Of course, there's truth, and there are mistakes to be dealt with between parent and child and parent and parent, you know, husband and wife, but that we do this in a peaceable, calm, controlled manner, because we don't want our children to have that disadvantage as they grow up.
Now, we were referencing this article from University of California, Berkeley, and the woman who wrote it, Diana DeVicha, is a developmental psychologist, and she actually starts the article talking about her own experience. I just want to read what she says. She says, when I was a child, my parents' fights could suck the oxygen out of a room. My mother verbally lashed my father, smashed jam jars, and made outlandish threats. Her outbursts froze me in my tracks. When my father fled to work, the garage, or the woods, I felt unprotected. Man, why would you ever want to put a child through that? That's just so sad.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's a great example of, we say, wait a minute, we don't want to even get close to there. So maybe you're not smashing the jar, but you are, you know, raising your voice. Another thing, we began the conversation by saying my pediatrician was the one, when I asked her what are the common mistakes that parents are making, she said arguing in front of the kids. And she also said raising your voice to your children. She says there's not a reason to raise your voice to your children, because when you raise your voice, when you yell at them, now I'm not talking about come to dinner, you know, because they're outside, not that kind of yelling. You know what kind of yelling I'm talking about. And she says it so diminishes the child. It makes them feel so small and so insecure. And the same thing when you argue, even if it's not yelling, but it's sharp words, and there's tension in the room, and you know you're walking on eggshells because your parents are fighting, those things are very harmful to a child and for their emotional stability that they feel in the home.
One of the studies that was quoted in the article, they did a 20-year study in the Caribbean, and kids who live with parents who were constantly fighting had higher levels of cortisol, which is the stress hormone, which was basically present in their bloodstream. And that can cause all kinds of problems. And you mentioned earlier just the long-term effects. Certainly, we know that long-term exposure to cortisol can affect our immune system. So, man, we are really damaging our kids. Let's talk about some of the practical things that parents can do, Arlene, because I know you've written a couple of wonderful books specifically to women. And how do you address conflict with your readers?
Yeah. In my book, 31 Days to a Happy Husband, I interviewed husbands that were happy with the things their wives were doing and asked them, you know, what were you doing? And one of them was a couple who had actually separated. Their problems had become such that they had to separate and really were wondering if there was going to be hope again. And one of the core issues was that disrespect between a wife disrespecting her husband and a husband not meeting his wife's needs for love, et cetera. But they ended up getting back together. And one of the key things was they said they had to realize that they had been facing each other fighting. You know, picture two boxers in a ring, and it's like, listen to what I say, boom, boom, boom. Listen to what I say, boom, boom, boom. And he said we had to realize that we were not fighting each other. That was the wrong paradigm. But that instead we should be back to back, with our fists faced outwards, and we're fighting our circumstances. We're fighting our money problems. We're fighting our problems with our children. We're fighting our problems, you know, at work, et cetera. This idea that you and your spouse are not fighting one another, but that you are back to back fighting the different things that happen to you, and you're doing it together. And I think if we can embrace that mindset of you are not my enemy, you know, to your spouse, no matter how crazy you make me feel or how I don't agree with you, you're not my enemy. You are the person I chose and I vowed to have and to hold for better or for worse. So you're not my enemy. And you start there, and then you start looking at, okay, what are the things we're fighting about a lot? You know, maybe it's money. I suggest Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. It's amazing. So get educated on these areas that you feel like this is where we're arguing. Maybe it's communication. We just keep saying the wrong things to one another. Then take a communication seminar together. Read a communication book together. It's worth it. So this idea that, yes, it takes a little bit of work to do this, but it is so worth it to reduce that conflict, and that well-being will come. You know, I was just reading in the Bible this morning that, you know, a lot of our fights are about money, and that's no surprise. And Paul says in 1 Timothy, and we have heard this, that he's talking about arguing and being argumentative. But then he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. And then he goes on to talk about for the love of all money and the desire for it, you know, is the root of all evil. So if we can realize, wow, if I can get to a place where I'm content in my marriage, where I'm not striving for more, where I'm not always greedy for more, always looking at the neighbors and thinking I want what they have, whether in the relationship or with money, and have that contentment, I think the arguments in your home will decrease quite a bit.
Now, Arlene, Emerson Eggerich is a pastor and author who has written a book called Love and Respect, and he believes that for a marriage to work, women need love and men need respect. And I'm wondering, do you agree with him, or do you think that's oversimplified?
No, I really do agree with him, that in that same way that a woman, you know, because you see the commands in the Bible for the woman to respect her husband and for that husband to love his wife. And there's got to be a reason for this. Why it doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. And I think it's because for wives, it's very easy. Let's love him. We like that kind of stuff. But let's respect him. Wait a minute, he didn't earn it, he didn't this, et cetera. And for a husband, you know, for him to love her, oh my goodness, she talks so much, she demands so much of me, she wants me to listen to her again. She's, you know, being dramatic again, and he's got to keep loving, loving, loving. And so I think it's a wonderful key that a woman gives that respect unconditionally and that man gives that love unconditionally, and it just makes that marriage, you know, definitely it decreases the arguments in that marriage for sure.
That's great counsel, Arlene. Something else I think that in this day and age we need to remember is that it's easy for us to drift apart as couples, and one of the things that can cause us to drift apart is technology. This is something that you've addressed in one of your books that you wrote with Gary Chapman. The fact is that so many families today, you look at the average American family in the evening after dinner, and they're all in the same home, but they're all connected to different devices. See, mom's on her Facebook page, dad's watching sports on TV, the daughter is texting her friends, and the son is playing video games. They're all there, but they're completely disconnected, and that can wreak havoc on a marriage as well.
You bet. So, you know, there's a lack of arguing, but there's also the lack of connection. There's nothing happening. And so it is so important to say, wait a minute, all these devices, you know, what are they? It's that opportunity cost. So, okay, maybe it's okay that you're on Facebook. Facebook is not this evil, sinful thing. But if it means that, wow, every night, I spend more time with Facebook than I do reading my Bible or talking to my husband or sitting next to my daughter, kind of figuring out how her day went. You know, then you realize, wow, what did that cost me? And I think the cost is enormous.
Arlene Pelican, as always, some great advice. You can find out more about Arlene and her books at Arlene Pelican, P-E-L-L-I-C-A-N-E, just like it sounds, Arlene Pelican. Arlene, thanks so much for your time today. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.